Right. All right, so as you know, Pastor John, Suzanne, Andrew, Noreen are in Jordan right now. So I do want to just take a moment as a church to pray for them. They're going to be gone for this Sunday and the next Sunday. So let's lift them up in prayer. Last I heard, I think Pastor John's a little bit under the weather. Is that correct? Right, so we're going to pray for them. If you guys could join me as we lift them up in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love for the nations, Lord. Father, we thank you that you've invited us into what you're doing in the nations, Lord. And specifically, Lord, we lift up to you right now, Pastor John, Suzanne, Andrew, Noreen, and everyone attending these heart conferences in Jordan. Father, we pray, Lord, for just your strong, strong presence to be with them. That in your presence, people will have hearts come alive. That people will receive healing and freedom. Father, that they would be in touch with your heart, Lord. And that first love, Lord, if it's gone cold, would just reignite in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray your blessing and protection over the team. We pray for health for Pastor John in the name of Jesus. Father, fill them with your spirit, Lord God. Anoint them to preach your word, to share your gospel, to pray for the sick and the lost and the broken, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would be glorified. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the nation, specifically for this trip. Lord, we thank you that you are with them, you are for them, and we look forward to hearing the testimony that will come out of this mission trip. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, today, I just want to ask, you all know the game charades, right? Where you're not supposed to say anything, but you're supposed to get the other people to guess. So I'm just going to do a quick exercise, okay? It's just about emotion, okay? So I'm going to say an emotion, and you guys make the face, okay? All right? So you guys got to participate with me. I'll make it easy first, okay? Let's do happiness, joy. Okay, thank you, Jana. Okay, thank you, Marzia. Okay, thank you. He threw in a dance. Okay, good. All right, how about sadness? Okay, thank you, Tina. Oh, okay, thank you, Nancy. Okay, all right. How about confusion. Can you guys show me a confused face? You're laughing. All right. How about awe, like A-W-E, awe? That's a good one. Can you stand up and do that? There you go. He's the charades champion for the day. Awe, A-W-E. So today I'm going to be speaking about awe and why it's so important to us as God's people, right? So I'm going to have Linda show some pictures, okay? And these pictures are meant to remind us, right? Remind us of what it feels like to be at awe. I remember myself, I was at the edge of the Grand Canyon, and this is before I was even a believer. And I stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon, and I was like, oh my goodness, is this real? It looks like a painting. And I just remember looking over the Grand Canyon. I didn't say it, but I was in awe of the beauty of this scene, right? This is not my picture, I'm just saying. Like, this is just a picture of the Grand Canyon. But I remember looking over the edge and thinking, wow, like, this is amazing. And I just felt so small. And I was just like, this is so beautiful. So that was it invoked a sense of awe in me in that moment. If you can go to the next picture. Another memory that I have is we took a family trip up to Banff in Canada. Okay, we were driving through the mountains. And I remember us driving, and I just remember looking up to my left and to my right and seeing these mountains that were so grand that I was like, I felt really tiny. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, this is bigger than I can imagine. And it's just, I just remember looking up and just mountains and mountains and thinking like, wow, I am really insignificant in comparison to these mountains. So that invoked a sense of me in awe as well. Can we go to the next one? And many of us have seen, you know, if you step away from the city, the lights of D.C., and you've been anywhere where there's not a lot of people and buildings and things like that, you can actually see so many stars in the sky. And I'm sure you guys have felt this, where you look up at the stars and you're thinking the same thing. You're like, oh my goodness, like, we are really one planet in this midst of this grand universe. And each one of those lights is a star, right? It's like, you just feel like, you can't even comprehend how grand the universe is. And then when you look at that, it takes you out of your own selfishness in a way, right? You're looking out and you're like, oh my goodness, there's a world out there that's even grander than I can realize. And then as Christians, we can think in each and every one of these scenes, right? Oh my goodness, God, you created the Grand Canyon. Like, how amazing is your hand? Like, you formed those mountains and you put them where they are. And it should stir up in us a sense of awe of the Lord. When you look up at the stars and you think that the Lord knows each of those stars and he's put them in their place. And you're like, and you look at how the Lord just holds the universe in the palm of his hand and how grand the universe is, how much greater is our God. And so these things are meant to stir us up into this emotion, right? So even in the past, before the time of Jesus, people outside Israel, cultures will end up worshiping the created. They'll worship the sun, the moon, the stars, mountains and trees. They'll end up worshiping these things that they have an innate sense of, wow, there's something special there. There's something special about these things. But if you don't take it a step further, then you end up worshiping the created. You don't worship the living God. And that could even happen for us today, right? So even with the cross is not something we worship. We don't worship the picture of the cross, right? That's meant to remind us what Jesus did on the cross, right? But oftentimes, you know, in many different faith traditions, whatever it is that's meant to point us to God can end up being the idol itself. But all of creation points to the glory of God, right? And so it doesn't have to be these grand things, right? The Grand Canyon, the stars. It could be, if you've had a child that was born, you probably remember the first time you saw your child. You're like, wow. Like, it takes your breath away. It's like, oh my goodness, this is my child. And you're like, wow. So that's in that, there's a sense of awe, right? There's a movie out there called, I don't know if it's out yet, called Sight, right? It's about an eye doctor who was atheist, brilliant, and he was studying the human eye. And just by studying the human eye, he just came to the conclusion that this is so complicated, so specific, that there must be a creator. So he, as he was studying and doing his research on the human eye, he must have, in a way, had a sense of awe, like, oh my goodness, this is too intricate, too perfectly made to be by accident, by evolutionary accident. So he himself came to the conclusion that there is a God, and he has since come to faith. And so what is awe, right? So the title of my message is called Living in Awe, and that's something that I'm just encouraging us to do as followers of Jesus. So what are some senses of awe, right? So if you're, I'm just imagining there's a sense of reverence, a sense of even a little bit of fear, like, when there's something so grand and so great and powerful that you just you can't fully comprehend, you don't fully understand, it invokes awe, right? So I was just thinking of some practical examples. If you're standing next to a grizzly bear, right? Let's say it's even like supposed to be domesticated and you're supposed to be able to like just pet it. But if you can imagine standing next to like a fully grown grizzly bear and just like the zookeeper's like, no, it's fine, he's safe, right? But in a way you're gonna be like, at any moment, he could just swipe his claw and I'd be done, right? But so there's a sense of like, oh, this majestic animal, but it could literally destroy me at this time, right? If it wanted to. Just had a change of heart, right? So there's a sense of a little bit of fear, a little bit of trepidation, but of awe at the power of this creature. If you're standing at I know in Iceland, sometimes there's volcanoes erupting and you can actually go into the foot of the mountains and kind of see the lava coming down. I would imagine that would invoke a sense of awe, like this mountain erupting, the lava coming down this mountain, and the power that's there. Seeing a tornado, right? Seeing a tornado, the power that's in a tornado. Even seeing something that your child does. When your child does something new, and you're like, whoa, like, where did that come from? There is a sense of awe there, like, wow. Like, when did they learn that? When did they pick that up, right? So there's, even in the, what we think is every day, there are things that should and could stir us into awe. Seeing a random act of kindness, right? You could be out and about and just seeing someone doing something, helping an old lady pack up her groceries, or helping someone cross the street, or just doing something, seeing someone do something nice, that could stir up a sense of awe, like, wow, that's amazing. Seeing someone fight for justice, like standing up to oppression or something like that, just taking a bold stand, you're like, wow. There's a sense of wow that comes along with awe, right? And so this all came about because I actually attended a conference, a work conference with Amy at her workplace. She's at Kaiser Permanente, and they had a work conference. And one of the speakers was a doctor of psychology, professor of psychology at UC Berkeley. And his main research is about this theme of awe, right? And so he talked about the power of awe and why it's so important. Now, he himself is not a believer, but he was speaking on this awe and why it's so important to the human psyche, right? And he talked a lot about, in details, about the intricacies of that, which I will go over in a moment. But he actually was sharing that he knows the director of Inside Out. Have you guys heard of the movie Inside Out? Inside Out 2, right? So in the story, if you guys don't know, it's a Pixar, I think it's Pixar, but anyway, it's Disney related, but what it is they look at the inside of someone, a kid's mind, right? And so there's several emotions that they each have their own cartoon, right? Each figure. So there's like anger, there's, let me see, I wrote it down. Joy, sadness, anger, anxiety, fear, disgust, envy, embarrassment, and boredom, and even nostalgia. But all these characters were there, and they each have their role in this girl's development. Okay, now he knows the director of Inside Out, and he was pitching awe. He's like, can you make a character for awe? And his idea got rejected, but he was talking about how like awe is important for each and every person as they're developing. So what do scientists discover about awe? And I'm just going to read some things that were discovered here as he's been doing research. So awe enables us to act in more collaborative ways that enable strong groups. So again, as you are in awe of something, as you grow in awe, just everyday life awe, because sometimes myself, right, if you're stuck on a computer all day and you're just focusing on like what you have to do, you're just so locked in. Or if you're always on your phone, your screens, right, you're just locked into certain things. But if you ever notice that when you step up, I need to take a break, so I need to take a walk. So you go outside, you take a walk, and you just even look up, and you can see like the clouds, the sky. You're like, oh, work. The world is so much bigger than my work, right? So this idea of awe enables us to be less selfish, less me focused, like my little world focused. The scientists say it enables more collaboration and more strong ability to work in strong groups. It leads people to cooperate, share resources, and sacrifice for others. It makes us think more outward, right? More modest and less narcissistic, and enables greater kindness. And so this reminded me of even the Lord's commandments, right? To love our neighbor as ourselves. But before that, it comes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbors as yourself. So when I read this, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're better able to love other people as your neighbors because you're thinking outside yourself now, because you're in awe of who the Lord is, and then you begin to be less selfish and you begin to see the Lord, how the Lord created each and every person around you. And so you're better able to love others as yourself. And so there is a biblical precedence for what the scientists are discovering now. So they say momentary experiences of awe stimulate wonder and curiosity. Right, so if you think about our kids, right, this is something also, right? If they're always on their screens or their tablets, then they don't have opportunity to see outside of those things. They're so locked in, right? So taking them to the park, taking them outside and letting them see things that would stir up awe and point them to the Lord, right? It enables them to grow in their wonder and curiosity, their development. We are meant to be in awe. If the Lord is the one who created us, then we are meant for awe. And I even in preparation for this message, like our family went on a short trip to West Virginia. My friend took some pictures on and put them on Facebook about this trip to Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. And so I was like, okay, that looks cool. So let's just go there. We went there yesterday evening. And we went to an overlook, and where you can see like Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, all in one overlook. And then, you know, it began to rain, but it's okay. And after that, there was this rainbow that came out, though. And Sean was the first one to see it. And Sean's like, wow, a rainbow. And then we used that opportunity to talk about the Lord. Like, who created the rainbow, right? Like, it's the Lord. And so we began to point Sean and Elliot to the majesty of God, right? It's not just a rainbow in the sky, but those are opportunities where we can point our kids and our loved ones to say, hey, the rainbow is awesome, but who created the rainbow? The stars are awesome, but you know who put the stars there? And so these are opportunities for our kids to grow in wonder of God, right? So that's just one thing that that came out of yesterday's trip that I was really blessed by. Awe leads people to shift their paradigms and can lead to originality and new discoveries and technologies. So like the scientists who study the eye, they were in awe of the intricacies of the eye, right? And that, I believe, that helps that person become a better eye scientist or eye doctor or whatever. And as we are in awe, I believe that's why, you know, the world likes to pit science against faith, but in actuality, really all science does is points us to the Creator, right? It doesn't explain the whys of why things are the way they are. They just explain the what. But really, like most of the scientists throughout history have been Christians, have been believers of a higher power, of God. And so as they're studying these things, they're discovering more about God's greatness, right? So actually, having this idea that we are created by this mighty God stirs us into originality, into discoveries that were never there before. So awe is valuable in that area. Awe embeds the individual self in a social identity. Again, we're not just thinking like, oh, I'm just me, right? It's just me, and I'm the most important thing in the world, and you know, I'm so me-focused. But we put ourselves in a greater context. If God is real, and I'm just amazed at who He is, I see myself in context of creation, but also in community, right? It's not just about me. Like, you know, you're my brother, you're my sister. We are children of God, and so it allows you to look at others in that way, and it's powered by this awe of who the Lord is. The scientists say awe provides health benefits, like an increased immune health. So that's interesting, right? So the scientists are saying that there is this correlation between living a life of awe and your own immunity, like your own health, immunity strengthened. Higher work ethic and academic performance is another result. And so they did a social experiment there, right? If you can go to the next slide. At UC Berkeley, there are these trees, eucalyptus trees, really tall, really big. They did a social experiment there, and they didn't tell the students what they were doing, but they just brought half the kids to look out at these eucalyptus trees by their academic buildings, and the other ones looked the other way towards just like this walkway that just has buildings, right? So they just had them stare at it for like a couple minutes, and then they had someone kind of walk by and just trip and drop like a bunch of their pens and pencils and equipment. And then they did the same for both groups. Okay, and they said that the people who were in staring at these grand trees they actually helped that person pick up more things. They were actually more helpful. They were actually more like kind to that person instead of just brushing them off or maybe picking up a few things. But the experiment showed that the people who were standing in awe and just in awe of these, maybe they didn't explain it that way, but they were just staring at these things that are so grand and so tall right by their building. They were actually more helpful to the person who fell. And so the Bible talks about awe actually a lot. So there's this word called yira, Y-I-R-A-H, yira. And sometimes when it's conjugated in the Bible, it's yirat, Y-I-R-A-T. And this word is actually complicated. It's not just awe, but it's actually fear. And this is the word that's actually used for fear of the Lord. Okay, so it's definition, there's awe, there's fear, there's respect, reverence, worship. It basically means like beholding something that is beyond one's comprehension and understanding. The feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends our understanding. So this yira is actually translated many times fear of the Lord. Now, it's not just fear. When you read, walk in the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. It's not just like scared of the Lord, not just being scared of him. Even though, just like that grizzly, he is all powerful. And we feel, we should feel like this sense of, wow, he is really mighty and really holy. And I if I were just to walk in his presence without the Lord, you know, I would be done because he's so mighty. Right? And it says in the Old Testament, when people encountered him, when they spoke to him, they would just fall as if dead, right? So there is a fear there, but it's like awe, reverence. There is, it's all these things mixed together when we think about the Lord. It says, Yira was also there when Moses went up to the mountain and saw the Lord's glory. It says he even confessed that he would die if he saw actually the Lord face to face. The Israelites were filled with fear, or Yira, when they saw Moses coming down the mountain. So it says they were trembling, right? Because there's this awe, this reverence, this for the living God. Job, you guys know the story of Job. So when Job was, suffering all these things, and his friends were kind of like, what did you do? What did you do? And he said, I didn't do anything. He himself begins to question, like, how can all these bad things be happening to me? And he begins to question the Lord almost as if they were like equals in a way. Like, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? What did I do? Why is all these negative things happening to me if I never did anything wrong, right? But then the Lord actually speaks to him and confronts him. And basically, he's like, okay, answer me this. Like, where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you when I separated the seas from the land? Where were you? And basically it paints this picture for Job, like, this is who I am. And you are, basically, you expect to know all my ways. This is who I am. Were you there when I did all these things? Were you there when I formed the mountains? Do you know, like, the intricacies of everything I've created? Like, but yet you question me, right? So that put in him, like, an awe of who the Lord is. Another character in the Bible who lived in awe, I would submit, is David. Okay, it says David, he grew up, tending the sheep. He saw the Lord help him to defeat lions and bears. And he grew up, he was a worshiper. So you can imagine him sitting out in the field with his sheep, worshiping the Lord, seeing the stars, like we saw the picture, seeing the stars in the sky. You could imagine the worship he was lifting up to the Lord. So he cultivated this sense of worship, practice of worshiping the Lord and being in awe of who he is. And what was the result of that? He stood in front of Goliath, right? And where all these grown men, these soldiers of Israel were scared and trembling, he had cultivated this sense of awe where he would look at Goliath and say, I mean, he's tall, but do you know who our God is? Do you know who he is? And so he wasn't scared. He was just like, no, like, who are you to insult the living God? And God's going to use me to defeat you. And he wasn't scared because he was more in awe of who God is, right? So that's an example of someone who's in awe. And if you look at the Psalms, many of the Psalms are written by David. And it comes out in his writings. It comes out in the things that he's put down for us to read now, that he had the sense of awe. And so we could have picked up any, really, so many different Psalms. Right? On Friday, if you were here at Rakab, I read from Psalm 34, and it says, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us magnify him together as a church. And right, so there, that's Psalm 34. Today, I'm going to have us look at Psalm 111, and I'm going to ask Linda to put it up. So in Psalm 111, you're going to see this theme, right? Praise the Lord, thank the Lord, like magnify who he is, and then remember what he's done. And how do we respond? We praise the Lord. And so there's this praise the Lord. Look at what he's done, and let's praise him again. So we're going to read it together. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. And that means us, right? So the us who know the Lord, let us praise him together. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. So here, he's stirring us up to say, hey, remember who he is. Remember what he's done. And so many, in the Old Testament, one of the major things that the Lord did that the people of Israel kept recalling is he freed the Jews from Egypt. He brought them out and doing signs and wonders, right? The plagues that he sent upon Pharaoh, parting the Red Seas, giving manna in the desert, water from the rock, so many things, the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, all these things that the Lord did should have and did stir up a sense of awe in the Israelites. And here he is, he's just saying, remember what he's done. Remember, people of Israel, what he's done. And for us today, we can do the same thing. Remember, I mean, again, that's why we have the cross. I mean, it's not to worship the cross. We don't worship that, but it stirs it up a remembrance. Remember, church, what he's done. He's paid for our sins on the cross. He died for us. He lived a perfect life so we could be forgiven. He took our sins upon himself, submitted himself willingly to the cross, paid for our sins in full, and then he rose again on the third day so that we can have a relationship with God. We can enter into his presence without fear, with confidence. We are children of God because what he's done. The cross should remind us of that. When we see the cross, it should remind us of that. What he's done for us so that we can have a relationship with God because God loves us. God loves us. He loves us so much that he would send his son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. So when we're struggling, when we're going through hard times, when we're stressed, and we remember these things, we can say, oh my goodness, if God did that for me already, why wouldn't he be for me now? Why wouldn't he be with me now? So these are the things that it's like David's stirring us to remember. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's done for us. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. And for us as New Testament believers, that should mean a whole different thing, right, than it meant for them. He sent redemption to his people. We are redeemed. We are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome. And that word awesome obviously comes from the word awe, right? Awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord, that's the yira of the Lord, yira, right? The fear of the Lord, the awesomeness of the Lord, the reverence that we have for our God is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Okay, so how is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? Right? So if you think about it, if we're in awe of who the Lord is, if we're in awe of his majesty, we're a little bit like, there's a little bit of fear mixed in, like of how powerful he is, how awesome he is, yet how much he loves us, right? And it should stir in us a desire to live a life pleasing to the Lord, right? A life that's the way he wants us to live. Right, and that's wisdom, right? I don't want to do these things that would take me away from God. I don't want to do these things that would hurt my neighbor because I have this understanding of who God is, right? I see the people, right? That each person, even if they're annoying me, they're made in the image of God, right? So it should allow us to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, a righteous life because of our understanding of who God is. So the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, a life lived wisely and in tune with God because of our understanding of who he is, first of all. And that's why I say, like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. enables us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So as we live in reverential awe of who the Lord is, and thinking and remembering what he's done, it allows us to live a more empowered life, to love, to care for our neighbor, to represent him to the lost. Yira, or fear of the Lord, also fear or awe, also allows us a future, for a future hope, right? Remembering who he is, we can also remember that he is God forever. He's always going to be God. He's never changing. So we know that whatever the future holds, he is there. He will be there. So when we don't have to fear about, you know, what's going to happen in a year from now, or 2 years, or 10 years from now. What's going to happen even in this election? What's going to happen, if things get darker? No, the Lord is already there. The Lord is already in the future. So we can have a hope because of our right perspective on who God is. And I submit that's why we talk a lot about hope theology, right? We talk about adoration a lot in this church. And the one way we can grow in our awe of who God is adoration. Adoring the Lord helps us to shift our mindset on him and understanding on who he is. So what are some things that are limiting our awe of God? We don't want to be a generation that has been stripped of our awe. That was another thing that came out of the study. That the generation now, a lot of people have been stripped of the awe, right? Meaning, like, then again, this is from a non-believer. This is from a non-Christian. The generation, we can think about us, we can think about our kids, are people who have been stripped of their awe, many of us, right? We are so focused on our day-to-day tasks. You know, life has gotten so busy, right? We love, the technology is great, right? You can instead of sending like mail, snail mail, and it takes like 2 weeks to get to Thailand, they can send me an email and I'll get it like in a few seconds, if even that, right? Or work needs you to do something and you already logged off, they can contact you, they can find you, right? Hey, can you log back on and approve this thing? You know, it's so hard to disconnect nowadays. Our lives are so busy, right? And I'm talking about myself too. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh, let me check my email because I wonder who messaged me, you know, like, and there's this always constant busyness. It's so hard to just be still, to be quiet, to be in the stillness, right? So even like, it's almost like we're scared to just be still and let our thoughts wander, right? We just always got to be plugged into something. Our minds all have to be focused on a particular thing, right? So even, I think that's why some of the, what do you call it? The social media, it's like little clips, right? Like short, less than 1 minute clip. And what it's like, you just end up scrolling and scrolling and scrolling until the next thing, until the next thing, until the next. So it's like, it's just a constant input into your brain, right? And so there's less opportunity for us to be in awe. Like I remember some of the times where like I've been just so stressed out and locked in. And literally, I didn't have to go to Grand Canyon. I didn't have to go to the desert to see the stars. I literally went outside my house, and I just looked up. And I was like, oh, there's more to the world than, you know, my job. Like, the stress I'm dealing with at work. Or whatever situation I'm going through. There's a bigger world out there. So even just stepping outside your house, getting your mind off of yourself and your box, it enables you to get the right perspective. And then I can go back into work with a different perspective, with a healthier perspective. But again, we have to be aware of our own vices, right? Whether it be social media, whether it be just zoning out on YouTube or whatever it is, right? Whatever it is that just fills up your mind, just be aware of those things so that you give yourselves an opportunity to be in awe of something, to look outside yourself. And I, you know, Amy and I have had this conversation with our boys, right? Sometimes it's like, hey, let's keep them busy, right? You know, let's give them activity to do, sign them up for a class. And then we're just like, I think it's good to be bored sometimes. Because I was like, wait a minute, I grew up, my parents didn't sign me up for anything, right? It's like, I may have done soccer, maybe like one activity a year. But now with the boys, it's like two, three activities, you know, per week that each one does. And I just remember, like, yeah, there was times where I was bored, but I would just end up doing something creative, right? Like, I would just go outside in the backyard and just dig with my stick, and, like, dig a hole and, you know, imagine it's, like, a tunnel somewhere. You know, like, it stirs up the creativity, right? So it's okay to be bored sometimes, right? But so even for ourselves as adults, it's easier to have access to things that will preoccupy us. We want to give ourselves space to, I mean, not necessarily just to be bored, but to begin to think, to begin to wonder, begin to be in awe of something greater than ourselves. So what can we do to grow in awe? One is look for more daily experiences of awe. Again, you don't have to go to the mountains. You don't have to go to the desert. You don't have to go to the Grand Canyon. If you get the opportunities, great. But many of us can't just go like, hey, I'm stressed at work. I'm going to go Grand Canyon to be in awe, and I'll come back. But find the moments of awe in your life. Like, what is it? You know, taking a walk in your neighborhood, noticing the birds, like noticing if you're a plant person, just observing the beautiful plants that people have put in their garden. Whatever it is that would stir up that sense of awe in you. And remember, it's not just those things, but I would challenge you to take it a step further. If you see something that, wow, that's awesome, that's beautiful, stir up your mind to remember the Lord. Oh my goodness, Lord, that flower, like that's, wow, Lord, you created a beautiful thing right there, right? So, or wow, Lord, the weather today is just perfect. It's perfect for biking, right? Thank you, Lord, for this weather. Like, just stir it up, take it a step further and take it to the Lord. Remember the Lord behind these beautiful things that you're observing. Go out into nature, you know, take a walk in the park, do something where you don't have to be connected to your screens, right? I mean, that's just a practical example. Like, just take a walk, take a family walk, go to the local park. One recommendation from the study is get out of your comfort zone. We tend to be creatures of habit. You know, we'll go to the places that we like, but going to somewhere out of your comfort zone, somewhere new, can stir up this sense of something not familiar to you. There's something less familiar to you, right? So I would imagine Mia going on this walk for 100 miles. Yes, she was praying. Yes, she was interceding, but she was probably like, oh my goodness, the Apostle Paul walked on this road? Oh my goodness, like the Lord used this road to bring his gospel to this area? Oh my goodness, like wow. Like, and she's, I don't think she's ever been to Greece, so she's probably like, oh my goodness, look at that, look at this. And it's stirring up in her a sense of awe, an awe of the Lord, right? So doing something out of your comfort zone. Look up, just like I said, you may only have a moment to get away from your work. Just step outside and just take a look around and just observe what's around you, right? Just pay attention. I use the example of paying attention to the kids, right? Like the kids may do something that they've never done before. Like that's new. So even that is a sense of awe. Like, oh my goodness. Actually, that's funny. A fun example. So Sean the other day, he was saying something, and he was just like something new to him. He said, "What in the world?" Like, and so he'd never said that expression before, and that's something that I say. So I'll be like, "What in the world?" And then all of a sudden, like one day, he out of the blue goes, "You know, like this piece of toast is hot or something." What in the world? And then I was like, "That's what I say." And so I was, even that is like, "Oh, right." So paying attention to your kids, to your family. One of the joys for myself is as my dad's been getting older. So, all right, rewind. So growing up, he was always working. Like Monday through Sunday, day to night, he's always working. He loves to work. But now that he's retired, he's just been sitting at home. And so I try to visit him and just to spend time with him once in a while. Just even taking my laptop and doing work at his house. And then he ends up sharing these stories that like in my 40 whatever years, like he has never shared before. And I'm hearing these things for the first time. Like, oh my goodness. Like, Dad, you have such a rich history. Like, I never knew about it. Because I guess he was just too busy focused on work. And he never bothered to tell me, like, this is what happened as a kid. And this is how I grew up. And this is how I even came to America. And so hearing his stories, I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm in awe. Right? I'm in awe of, like, wow, the journey that, now he wouldn't say it, but the journey that God brought my dad on to get even here. I'm amazed that God's faithfulness to my dad, right? And so that stirred up in me an awe, right? And so I'm like, oh my goodness, there's this rich history that my dad has that I never knew. So being present with your family, being present with people, it can stir in us a sense of awe, right? And lastly, but definitely not least, is growing in our understanding of God. As we pray, as we read the word, we begin to discover more of who God is. And so our awe of him will grow. The more we know him, the more we're going to fall in love with him. Right? It's like the astronomers who look up into the sky. The more they discover about what's out there, the more they discover like how much they don't know, how much they don't understand. And I believe that in a way, they're growing in awe, right? And who knows, some of them are like, oh, there must be a creator. Like, this is impossible. So as we grow, as we read the word, as we read God's word and really pray and really seek his face, we are going to get to know who he is even more and grow in more awe and fall more in love with him and better be able to love others. Right? I don't know about you, but if you notice, people who have been walking with the Lord a long time, they're elderly, but they've been walking with the Lord a long time. They are the most humble people. Like you would think that someone who's been used by the Lord in such powerful ways, they would be a little bit like, yeah, you know, I got it together. But they're the most humble people. Like, I mean, we talked about it like on Friday, but one example is Bob, right? I brought him. He came on Sunday. He shared a little bit about his journey, and he lifted up his son to the Lord, and he was dying, but then he breathed again. And you know, he has been a missionary for decades. You know, he's getting ready to leave his legacy, right? He's just like, whenever the Lord calls me home, you know, he's basically so happy with what the Lord's done in his life. His son is taking over that ministry pretty much that he started, Reach a Village. But he said, hey, I only talked to him maybe once or twice before this, but he said, hey, I'm going to be in town and I just want to meet up with you. I said, sure, right? Like, okay, let's meet up. And then I said, what did you want to do? Because I'm like, you know, this guy is like, you've been used by the Lord in awesome ways. Like, who am I really? Like, I could take you for a meal. He's like, no, whatever you want. I just want to spend time with you. He's like, I have no agenda. I just want to get to know you and spend time with you. And I was like, all right. So we literally like, okay, I already kind of have plans. I'm supposed to go to the book signing at my seminary. Like, nothing to do with you, really. Do you want to go with me? Yeah, let's go. Like, I'll ride with you. And he just came with me, and we just had meal. We just talked. Super humble. Like, if I just met him on the street and just had a small conversation with him, I'd be like, wow, he's just a nice old man. But then when I look at his bio, when I talk and ask him, I hear about his history with the Lord, I'm like, wow, like this guy has been used by the Lord in so many powerful ways. But I believe it's because he has this awe of the Lord, right? He has this understanding of who the Lord is. And so, you know, that verse, like he must increase, I must decrease. He's one person that represents that so well because he just seems so meek and so like humble. But I think it's because he's discovered how great God is. And so as we get to know the Lord, again, we're going to love him more, but we're going to be able to love other people. We're going to be less selfish and more selfless, right? So I'm going to ask the team to come up. I'm going to ask us to just spend a little bit of time in prayer as I close. If you guys could just even close your eyes right now. And you know, with our imaginations are a gift of the Lord. With our imagination, with our thoughts, remember the last time you were in awe. Remember when you were in awe of something. You know, it could be something in the physical. It could be an encounter with the Lord. Just whatever that is. Maybe you went on a family trip and saw something just so beautiful that just took your breath away. Maybe it's remembering the birth of your child and and how when you saw your child's face, like everything you went through leading up to that just melted away. Because you saw like just the beauty of God's creation, the beauty of God's gift of your child. So Lord, we confess. We confess that you're beautiful, Lord. We confess that you are awesome, God. You are so powerful, so mighty, Lord. We would literally melt in your presence, God. But you're so loving and so tender and so caring that you welcome us with open arms. God, forgive us for the ways that we have taken our eyes off you. Forgive us for magnifying our problems and our issues and our day-to-day activities. Holy Spirit, help us to magnify the Lord. Holy Spirit, help us to see you in the beautiful things that you've created. When we look at a sunset, may we just imagine you as the great painter, Lord. When we look over and see something like a mountain or a wonderful canyon, Lord, we would say, wow, Lord, the works of your hands. When we gaze up in the night sky and we see a star or see the moon, or we just say, wow, Lord, you are grand. Lord, you put that star in its place. You know the stars by name, Lord. You know, Lord, each and every one because you put them there. And Lord, for all these amazing things, Lord, you say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, that out of all of your creation, Lord, you are the one, you created us in your image. So we hold a special place, Lord, to you. Lord, thank you that none of us are created by accident. You know us by name. You know the number of hairs on our head. You know our thoughts even before we think them. You know us so intimately, Lord. So we say you are awesome, Lord. We are in awe of you. Father, may we live lives of awe. May we live our lives to be in awe of you. May we never stop, Lord. May we never get tired, Lord, of discovering more of who you are. May we continue to grow in our awe of you, Lord God, because that's how you created us. You created us to be in awe of you. We love you, Lord. How majestic are you, Lord. How wondrous are your ways, God. We thank you for the Psalms. God, we thank you for the Psalms, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you were upon David as he wrote. You were upon the other psalm writers, Lord. And these Psalms are ways that you help us to be in awe of you, to be amazed at your power. To realize how little we understand of who you are, Lord, because you are so beyond our comprehension. But Lord, the more we know you, the more we are in wonder. The more we know you, the more we love you. The more we know you, the more we realize how much we are loved by you. And the more we know you, Lord, we realize how much you love the world. So Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. Lord, for everyone who's listening right now, help us. Help us to be in awe. Help us to see you. Help us to perceive you. Help us to notice you, Lord. Even the little signs or the little nudges. Say, Lord, you are there. Wow, you're here. You're here with me. So God, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you worship because you are worthy. We give you adoration because you are so beautiful, so glorious. And we thank you that we are going to be on this journey of wonder and awe, Lord, for eternity. Because we will never fully comprehend and discover who you are, because you are that incomprehensible, Lord. So we are excited to be on this journey of discovery. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could ask you guys to stand, if you're able, for the closing song.
Spirit song, rushing wind, fire of God, fall within, Holy Ghost, breath on us, we pray. As we repent, turn from sin, revival ember smoldering, breath of God, fan us into flame. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. For hearts that burn with holy fear, purified in faith and deed, fire's fire, strengthen what remains. So we the church who bear your light, lamp a lamp, city bright, King and kingdom come is what we pray. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Holy anointing, the power of your presence. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Holy anointing, the power of your presence. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out. Let all the redeemed prophesy and sing. We can hear the wind blowing, blowing. Move upon our praise, sons and daughters sing. We can hear the wind blowing, blowing. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
Pour your spirit out.
We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Holy anointing.
anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Holy anointing, the power of your presence, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out.
So when the Lord begins to question Job, he says, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. And the Lord continues to question Job. And then he responds at the end. Job responds. Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. So, Father, as we sang, would you pour out your spirit? Forgive us, Lord. We repent, Lord, for not fully seeking your face, for not fully understanding how awesome you are. But Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, that you're going to help us. We pray for your help. Lord, that as we leave from this place, we will no longer live that way. We're going to live, Lord, lives in awe of who you are, God. Even when we step out of this church today, we're going to look and say, wow, Lord, you are here. Jesus, you're awesome. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for loving us. Father, thank you that we are your children. So, Lord, may we as a people grow in awe of who you are. May we discover more of your glory, more of your goodness, more of your power, more of you, God. And we know, we confess, we will fall more in love with you. It's not just that we're just going to hear about you. We're gonna see and understand. We pray this for the next generation, Lord, that they will see and understand. They won't just hear about you from Sunday school. They won't just read about you in the Word, but they will see and they will understand and be in awe of who you are. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. You're awesome, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Could we give the Lord